Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have quite the contrast in our gospel reading for today. On the one hand, we have the scribes. Now, the scribes were among the most powerful and wealthy of people in Jesus' time. They were experts in the law, and they had a particular skill that few other people in that time had. They knew how to write. That's where they get their name, scribe. They knew how to make the scribbles on the parchment. That was their craft, that was their trade, to be writers, to write the letters. The scribes walked around in long robes, and while the scribes were religious leaders insofar as they worked a lot with religious law, these long robes were not liturgical vestments. No, these robes mean something else. These long robes were the ancient version of a three-piece tailored Brooks Brothers suit. These were the fancy clothes of the ancient world. And oh, how these scribes loved to be seen in their long robes. Oh, how they loved the attention and the admiration they received. Oh, how they loved having the best seats at the best tables. Because these scribes had a lot of authority and trust in society, and because they could read and write, they were often involved in different legal aspects of Jewish life, including dealing with the estates of widows whose husbands have died. And the scribes were known. They had a reputation for manipulating the numbers. They were the ones who knew how to make the scribbles on the page, right? Few other people knew how to do that or could read it. So they were known to manipulate those little scribbles on the page to their benefit, gaining great, huge commissions for themselves, effectively draining the estates of these poor widows. They knew how to work the angles to give themselves an advantage. How do you think they got so wealthy? The people of Israel, including the scribes, had been commanded by God to care for the widows, to care for the orphans, and here were these scribes feathering their nests on the backs of these widows. And so we hear our Lord Jesus in the text for today calling them out on that, for devouring widows' houses, right? So we see the scribes. And on the other hand, in contrast, we see a widow. We see one of these widows. In contrast to their wealth, to the wealth and power of the scribes, we see this widow who is destitute and desperate. In contrast to the fancy clothes of the scribes, she's wearing clothes that are dark and tattered, signs of her poverty and her grief. Instead of getting attention and admiration from the people around her, she gets only their pity. Instead of having good seats at good tables, she lives on the margins of society, living off of the scraps. Jesus sees both of these kinds of people there that day at the temple treasury. He watches them as they're making their offering. And Jesus sees that the rich are giving large sums. We can assume, I think, safely here that the scribes were among those rich giving those large sums. Jesus notes that these people were giving out of their abundance. They were giving in order to maintain their level of power and prestige as the biggest of givers, but they also kept back enough coins for themselves to maintain their lifestyles. And then we have this widow. She had two coins left to her name. They weren't worth very much. It was the smallest denomination of coinage that there was in the ancient world. These coins were physically small, about the size of a button on a dress shirt. It was all she had left. Perhaps she was one of these women who had been fleeced by the scribes. But up she goes to the horn-shaped receptacle in the temple treasury, and she tosses those last two coins in. They probably could barely be heard as they clicked down the receptacle, in contrast to the great clacking sounds of the big coins that were being offered by others. So she tossed in these last two coins, the last two coins she had, and they weren't worth very much at all. But Jesus pointed to her, to his disciples, and said, "She has given more than anybody else here today. For she has given everything she has, everything she had to live on. She had such great faith in God that she entrusted herself to God's keeping entirely. She gave him everything she had. Now, it would be very easy at this point to turn this sermon into a stewardship sermon. Maybe that's what you're expecting this morning. We've been working on our fall stewardship drive, and that's gone pretty well. And a text like this, let me tell you, it's like a fat pitch right down the middle. It'd be so easy to hit that topic hard, right? I could come to you and say, well, we all need to be more like that widow. We need to give everything we have to the general fund, or maybe not your whole paycheck, but as much as you can, right? We need to fill up that general fund. And we do. That would be helpful. That would be the easy route for me to take. But we need to hear more than that this morning. Because before we can ever begin to live with the generosity and the faith of this widow, before we can get to that point, we need to deal with the scribe that is living in our hearts. He's there. He's in all of our hearts. There's a scribe living in each one of us. Now, hopefully none of you are involved in scandalizing these senior citizens, taking advantage of them. That still happens today, right? We hear about that a lot. Elderly people being tricked out of their money, that happens today. Hopefully you're not actually involved in that. But even so, there is a scribe within each one of us that likes to work the angles of life in order to help ourselves for our own benefit. There's a scribe within each of us that cares a little bit too much about looking good in front of others. There's a scribe in each of us that just loves to be honored, that just loves having power. We are all selfish in different ways. We have selfish ambitions and ulterior motives, some of which we're not even aware of most of the time. The scribes in us give out of our abundance. We give enough to feel good about ourselves, but not so much that it impinges on our lifestyle. There is a scribe living in our heads and living in our hearts. There's one in mine, and I'm sure there's one in yours too. And if this scribe could be driven out just by being told, you should be more like the widow, then Mark's gospel could end at chapter 12, verse 44. Then we'd know what we're supposed to know, right? We'd know what we're supposed to do. If Jesus came to be our moral teacher and our holiness coach and maybe even our financial advisor, if he came to do those things, Mark's gospel could have ended right there. He could have said, the end, and closed the book. But the story doesn't end there. Actually, and interestingly, this is the last of Jesus' public teaching in Mark's gospel. It's the last of his public ministry. But it's not the end of the story. Everything that continues in Mark's gospel, and Mark's just getting warmed up here in his gospel. Everything that follows moves swiftly to the cross. And it's on the cross that we see a different kind of offering. The scribes had a lot and they gave a little. The widow had a little and she gave everything. Jesus both had it all and he gave it all. As the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus had everything. As the King of Kings, he had all the power, all the glory, he had all the riches of the world if he wanted to have that. And he gave it all up. Jesus gave up his power and his glory as he was mocked and humiliated. Jesus gave up all of his earthly possessions. They even stripped him of his clothing. Jesus gave up his body as he was beaten. He gave up his blood as he was pierced. Jesus gave up his last breath. He gave up his life. He gave it all away for you and for me. Jesus offered himself entirely in order to save us from our sin, in order to save us from that scribe that lives inside of us. In our second reading from Hebrews, it's made very clear. There it's written, Jesus appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus did not come just to be our teacher, just to tell us to be more like that widow. Jesus came to give an offering of his own. He came to offer himself. He came to offer his life. Jesus knew that we needed more than a teacher. We needed a savior. And so Jesus offered himself that we might have forgiveness and life and salvation. He offered himself that we might be filled with the riches of God's grace. When we look at the offering of the scribes, we catch a glimpse of our own sinful nature. We are convicted. When we look at the offering of the widow, we see how she gave it all. We see a level of faith there, a level of generosity, a level of trust that we will never conjure up on our own, by our own will or strength. It's just not going to happen. But when we look at the offering our Lord Jesus made for us, well, that's different. When we see how Jesus offered himself for us entirely, we can't help but be changed by that. When we look to the cross, that scribe living in us starts to be killed. That sinner inside of us starts to be crucified with Christ. Those selfish desires and ulterior motives, they begin to be put to death. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ Jesus raises up a new person in us. And this new person looks a little bit more like that widow. This new person lives in trust. This new person lives in faith. This new person is not only generous when the offering plate comes around, but sees all of life as an opportunity to say thank you to Jesus for what he has done for us. I know that the Lord Jesus is raising up that new person in you because I see it all the time. I see it in the ways you generously offer your time and your talents and your treasures to this congregation. I see it in the way that you offer care to each other in your times of need. I see it in the way you offer yourself so generously to widows and orphans and all who are vulnerable in our community and in our world. Maybe this ended up as a stewardship sermon after all. I don't know. What do you think? But if it did, let it first and foremost be about the offering our Lord Jesus made for us as he sacrificed himself for you and me. Christ has already made the offering that matters most. And as our hearts begin to take hold of that offering, we find that we can indeed entrust ourselves entirely to him, just like that widow did. As we begin to take hold of the gift of salvation, we find ourselves wanting to give him everything we have. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want you to stand as we sing.